And so on your seats, we have this card. We're celebrating 10 years, and we want you to know and to save the date. We're going to just pack this place out, hopefully, on April the 6th. But we have this here. And I just encourage you, wherever you are at today, to take steps of faith. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 2 months. And we're in this series called Daring Faith, Daring Faith. And so we began this last week, and I just talked about what is faith. Well, we know that God has called us to live in faith. His entire interaction with us from the beginning was to follow him and to trust him because he made us. He knows us. He knows which way is best for us to live. And so we are learning to trust him. And to do that, we move from fear to faith, and we talk through and share this story of in the Old Testament scriptures where God was beginning his pursuit with the nation of Israel and beginning to ultimately lead to Christ in his pursuit of all of us. But there's this moment of faith where they had been moved out of slavery. They had been praying for years and years to step out of slavery. And God had answered that prayer and performed these incredible miracles for them to get out of that place. And they finally, he said, I'm going to move you into a new land. And that's promised to you. And they got to this point and they freaked out. And they are like, you know what? I think it'd be better if we just went back to slavery. And it's a wild story. We're like, there is no way. And it talked about how devastated they were by the disappointment of wanting to do that. And it's amazing. We were like, people would be like, I would never do that. But it's amazing because it's a picture of our own hearts that when we get to this place of trusting God in faith, we're like, you know what? I don't believe it's true. I don't believe that you actually have my best interest in mind. I'm going to go back to what I think is best, which really leads our hearts to be enslaved. We think that we're pursuing freedom, but these very things that you and I try to fill our lives up with are ultimately empty and don't satisfy. And so he's calling us to step out in faith, to follow him. So over the next 2 months, we're going to be pursuing this. Daring Faith, this is a two-month focus on growing in Christ, sowing into the future, sowing into future stories, into your faith. As we sow, we reap in the future, and growing in and going. And we're going out in faith. And I want to be challenging you to take steps of faith because that's how God interacts with us. Yeah, you've got questions, and we hope that this is a safe place for you to come and ask your questions of God because we believe that leads you to life. But at some point, you and I, we take steps of faith, and that's how he leads us. And as a church, as we think about the past and as we look towards the future, he is going to be calling us as a church family to step out in faith, to love this city. And we can look at what he has done, what he's doing right now, and look to the future and know that he is with us and we can trust him. And we want to go for it and step out in faith. So this is going to be a two-month focus for us. And it's going to be helping us lead into our birthday and then lead into Easter after that. And I really hope that we will love this city well. We want you to learn how to take steps of faith and to dig roots down into Christ. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your roots grow into him and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous. God has a desire for you and for me to help you and I to grow, to develop great roots, and experience life in this city. And so you might say, well, I am experiencing. Like, there's a lot of great things to experience here. But there is a call to people and to his story. And some of you might be in Kelly's shoes right now where you are asking these questions, and we just want to be a place for you to keep doing that. But there are future stories of life change, and there are things that God sees and desires for you personally. As we learn to trust him, we will see this. I need to grow in faith as a pastor. our elders here are pushing me to do that. They're always pushing me to do that. And there are times where I'm reluctant. I stand at the border, just like the story we shared last week. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good right here. But God is encouraging me to not be afraid, but to take steps forward in faith. There's a chapter in the book of Hebrews, and it's all about faith. And it begins saying this, Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what those who came before us were commended for. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's the next part of that scripture. You can put that up. We'll eventually get there. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And this is an amazing statement of faith for us, that God is able to take what is not seen and make it visible. That is what he is doing. In the beginning, we see that he breathed life into the world. And that he is still doing the same thing. You can take these things and be like, well, you know, God is this magic genie lamp, and I just ask whatever I want to. That's not how it works. And there's a step of faith, and it's usually leading you through challenges. And so we're going to be engaging that in this series. But he leads us by faith. It goes on to say in verse 8, he just goes through all those who had taken these steps in the past. He says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And there's this place in our journey with God that we take this step into the unknown. We trust him with this. We step into relationships, or we join a dinner group, or we go and we serve for the first time, or you attend here on a Sunday. You know, like, some of you are very brave, and we appreciate that. We know that, you know, we don't know what to expect many times. And so we appreciate you trusting us. Some of you are here for the first time today. Some of you came back. We're so grateful you're here. So we take steps of faith towards him. And we want you to know that he loves you and that you can trust him. And we are here today because of the many, the hundreds who have gone before us. We are here today for the many of you who are engaging in faith. You are giving. You are serving. You are in relationships with one another. It is a joy to experience that as a family. And so we want to continue to run this race together. And so there are four purposes in this series that I want us to experience as we do this together. And I want to challenge you to take steps of faith and to learn to trust God and understand where he's leading you. And so one of the purposes of this series is to advance our spiritual maturity by stretching our faith. And sometimes it's just good to know that this is how God's lead us, and to recognize where he is doing this. And so I want to help you grow in your faith and to be strong in character. Now, this isn't easy for us in the city, where we are so very accomplished, and many of you are doing great things, and you're working incredible hours. And so it's hard for us to admit that we need God and we need to trust him. So this isn't easy for us. So we need to grow in maturity. James talks about this in the scriptures. When he was one of the early leaders in the church, and he was writing to them, and he says, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So he says, so let it grow. And man, there are times where I don't like that phrase. It's like, when your faith is tested. He was writing to people where it was really hard. Many of them faced death, not all of them. But it was very tested. He's like, let it grow. And they're like, what? Really? And God is a God who wants me to continue to grow, wants you. There are things that he desires for you. He knows who you are and what you need. And we have to let him do that work in our heart. There's a beauty that comes from this. He says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. Have you ever had a new task at work and it felt overwhelming and you're like, I can't do this? Or you've had to take a difficult step. Maybe you're learning to have hard conversations with employees, or a hard conversation with your boss. Some of you are like, that's every day. But it's scary to engage in more adversarial feeling type of conversations, especially depending on your character. Some of you are like, I love doing this all day. But there's some of us like, we're afraid of people. And then we take that step, and then you grow in your ability to do that, and you learn that it leads to peace. And so you learn to take these steps, and it's not as hard, and you grow in your character, in your development, whatever it may be. And God, that's by God's design, and He wants that for your heart. If you are willing, He says, let this grow your endurance. And there's a joy that comes from this. And God is never done. He is developing us. So there is a future in mind. There is a joy and a beauty ahead. Like any good parent, we see our child is doing things that are destructive, and we say, this is not good for you. I want to lead you to what is better. And it leads them to happiness. So we want to stretch our faith and grow deep roots and let God do that work. The second purpose for us is to enhance our relational unity by cooperating together. And we do this now. It's so amazing to be unified as a family, to love this city together. And we've come from all different types of backgrounds here, socioeconomically, all of it. We come from all over the world here in this city. And what a joy that is to be unified together in purpose and in mission as we learn to follow Christ and as we love Him and love others, as we love this city. And we see this. This has been a picture from the church that we are called to do the work of unity. It says here in Acts 4, this is what the early church was known for this. It says, the believers in the Jerusalem church were united in their hearts and spirit because they shared all they had with each other. They were so overwhelmed by who Christ was. It says, in fact, people would sell what they owned, even their homes, and give the money as an offering. Their generosity was unbelievable. There are Roman emperors that wrote about it. They were blown away. There's a famous writing from a Roman emperor. He was writing about the early church. This was years after this. But he's like, they're doing such a better job at all of this than we are. He was annoyed by the Christians. Isn't that funny? Can you imagine selling your home? And like, that was an unbelievable amount of faith. They were so in on the mission. The early church's generosity was amazing. And it's one of the reasons the church spread throughout the world. There is a beauty in being unified together. And that takes work. There's a work of unity. And we want to learn to be committed to that and trust God with it. Because our world needs people who live this way, who have been tested, who are strong in character. There's a lack of character. And God has a purpose in this. And so that is a purpose. Number three, and we want to invest in the future stories. There's stories happening right now in your heart with us. And we're so excited about this. God is weaving a story in my own life right now. And I love, you know, and I know that He is working. I see Him active. And so we want to invest financially through a 1 to 3 year financial commitment where we stand on those who've come before us. And we want to invest in the future of our church. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the early church, said this. He says, what we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, you'll play a greater part within our expanding work. We have dreams for how we want to engage this city to love. And as we take steps as a church family, it has an impact on people. We take our finances seriously because we know that when we are well-organized financially, number one, it is what God has called us to be, that we are to be good stewards. And we, from the very beginning, have been committed to that with you. So when you give, and when you give abundantly, it impacts people. I don't get just to be paid more. It's like, oh, we're ahead of our budget. Right now, we are ahead of our budget, and we're very thankful for that. When we met with our members last fall, you know, we said, here's the budget that we're setting for the year. And if we go way beyond this, you know, we'll come back if we ever need to you and do something again. And, and Lord willing, we would be able to do that. But we have a committed set of parameters out of accountability to you. And we do that on purpose, that we make every dollar spent, every deposit that's made, all of it has to be accounted for. We take it seriously because God has called us to this. And if we were to ask you to give, then we should be responsible, and we are. And it's all focused towards ministry. Our budget comes out of our vision and love for this city. So when you give, it impacts people in the best way. And so I don't get to decide to make a pay raise or whatever. That happens through others and in the fall. And so we know, like, I just always like to say that because it means that we are accountable. And that means impact. And we have dreams to impact more in the future. We have dreams to hire more staff because we know that allows us to reach more people and to love you better. We want to love well. And so a purpose in this series is to help you and I to take steps financially, to invest, and to stand on the many who have invested before us and do that in the future. But not just with our money, but with our time and our gifts. God has gifted you to impact and love this city. And what a joy it is for you to discover this. And I want you to experience that as well. And then number four, our fourth purpose is to honor the everyday heroes of faith serving in our church family. It's a natural part of celebrating. We want to celebrate those who have gone before us, who have moved away, who made an impact, and then those who are with us now. We see this throughout Scripture. In Philippians, it says, Epaphroditus works and served with me in the army of Christ. When I needed help, you sent him to me. Welcome him back with much joy. Give honor to people like him. There are so many that are serving and loving us well right now, and I'm thankful for them. I am looking forward to what God is going to do in your life, in our church, over the next 2 months as we look forward to celebrating and taking steps in the future. And what we want to do is learn to follow Christ. And so with the last couple of minutes that I have, I want to quickly just lead us back to a story of faith and show us how Christ is leading us and encourage us to do this today. This is found in Mark 6. So when Jesus was here with us, he was showing us the Father. He was showing us God and who he is. And he would teach people. And there were huge crowds following Christ. And so in one of these times, Jesus performed this incredible miracle in front of them. And so we find this story here. This is found in Mark 6. And it says that Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. It says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat." And so then this amazing moment happens. Jesus says, "Well, you feed them." And I think this is such a great picture of us, where we're like, "Hey, God, I want you to do all these things. We need to do this. We're hungry." And this is a legitimate thing. These guys are actually coming to him out of care. But then Jesus comes to us and says, "No, I want you to do this. I want you to take steps and learn how to do this." And the reaction is amazing. The next phrase is, "With what?" We have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Like, his statement was, he's like, "You feed them." And they're like, "Are you serious?" And so as we learn, is like, it was like at least 5,000 people. It might have been 5,000 to 10,000 people. So we imagine Jesus, it says he's in a boat teaching them. He must have had an amazing voice, number one. And then, like they're sitting on a hill. Like, this is legit. Like, it's wild. It's an unbelievable amount of people. And so they're like, it would take us, you know, some of the translations talk about this, it would take us like 8 months to just to work to do all this. Somebody apparently was very good at math. They're like, "With what? We had to work for like almost a year." And so Jesus, okay, he's like, all right, so how much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. So they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's like nothing. And so Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups in the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves of 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He divided the fish for everyone to share. They ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. So a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Maybe you've heard of this miracle before, if you didn't grow up in church. But I think for some of us, maybe it feels like a children's story. But this really happened. You know, these written accounts of Jesus' life, when God was with us, he came to show us that he was God. And his miracles proved this. It was a critical part of him being here. But he had a greater purpose in what he was showing them. He eventually wanted them to see that he was the bread of life, that he was, you know, feeding them literally through nourishment of food in this moment. But he came to show them that we were broken without him and that we needed him to be the bread of life. And this is not easy for us. And so to step out in faith, there are 4 things. I'm just in 4s today, so there's 4 purposes for the series, and so 4 things that we see here. One is we have to admit that I have an unsolvable problem. That there is a problem with me and the sin and my brokenness, that I need a Savior from this. And this is hard for you and I. But ultimately, we admit that we have an unsolvable problem. And so, you know, Jesus is coming here to them. It says, when Jesus saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them, so he began teaching them. And by this time, it was late in the day. And so eventually, the disciples were like, man, this will take 8 months of a man's wages to feed everybody. This was impossible. Impossible. And so we have to admit that this is greater than us, that we are trusting our lives and our steps towards him. And I believe so firmly that he's put you in this city in this time, and we're learning to engage him. So many of us come to God and to the church saying, what can I get of this? But God wants you to learn to take steps towards him. And what I encourage people to do is to do what you know, what you can in front of you now. So don't be afraid to serve, to engage in a relationship, or to come back on a Sunday, or to push through the awkwardness of who we may be. But learn to trust God and admit that we need him, that I can't solve this on my own. And then we give God what little we have. He wants to use all of it. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They're like, we have 5 small loaves and 2 fish. Jesus wants to challenge our faith, to learn this, to trust him with this. We give God what little we have. We're like, I don't know how he would do this. We take steps of faith and you engage. And then we put it all in the hands of Jesus. Jesus was the one who gave them the bread. And it says, he took the 5 loaves and the fish, he blessed the food, broke it, and kept giving it to the disciples and set it before the people. So we put it in his hands. We give it to him. We how do we do that? Well, we engage with him in prayer. We think about the story that we were sharing last week where they were looking back. They've forgotten what God had done. And then they, you know, as they look to the future, they only look to the challenges. And so much of it is just taking a step towards him. We step towards him with what we have, and then we let him do the work. It might be a thought in your mind that, hey, we're here today, we're celebrating 10 years because of how great of a leader and a pastor I am. And that is not true. Some of you are probably not thinking that. I don't actually think you think that. Or from our great team members or something. But this is by his grace and his work. I share this story all the time. A pastor friend of mine shares with his atheist friends, like, if you want to see that God exists, just come and see how people keep coming back after I speak every week. He's like, if that's not proof that God exists, you know, I don't know what else is. And, you know, it's by his grace that he is leading us. We are just trusting him. And I am so thankful to him because I had a problem that couldn't be solved without Christ. And he is still doing a work in me and in you. Put it in the hands of Christ. And then expect God to multiply it. That we naturally grow. It says, everyone ate and had enough. They had enough, and there were leftovers. Now, this doesn't mean that God's going to make you rich. That is not what the scriptures say. But he does say that we will be rich in good works. But there is a principle. If we love this city, we will grow. And as you take steps of faith, maybe your dinner group leader will ask you to apprentice, to be another dinner group leader and start a group. That's a scary step of faith. But then other people can be part and engage in community. And there is a multiplying effect that only Jesus can do. And he will do that work. And there are dreams for the future. So as we step forward in faith, we know that God will do that. We look to what he has done. And we look to the future. So in your personal life, admit we need Christ. There is a problem in your own heart that you can't solve without him. You need Christ. And then you give him what you have. Take steps towards him. Put it in his hands and let him lead you, and then he will multiply it. DCC, I can't wait over the next several months for us to put this into practice. We want to follow on the steps of those who have done this before us, those who are with us now, and we look forward to what is ahead. I can't wait. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. Jesus, I thank you for these simple, steps that we have, knowing that we can trust you, that you want to do a work. I pray for every one of our hearts today, whether we've just moved here or we've been here for a while or we're in a troubled time or things are going well or whatever it may be. God, I pray that we would learn to give this to you, to know that you love us, you are here, and that we can have confidence that you are at work in our world, in our country, and in this city. May we experience what you have called us here to do. I pray for the future stories, like we heard today, that you are sowing right now in our hearts and in those that are not even with us right now. I pray that we would see that and experience it, and we would have great joy ahead. We thank you, Father, and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.